Good evening, everyone. Today, as you requested, we'll speak about Shalom Bayit, which means peace in a family. Just to give you a little bit statistic of what's going on today in the world, in the Jewish world, we don't care so much about the rest of the world, but in our own nation, more than 70% of the couples ended up in divorce. 70% in this generation. Previous generation, it wasn't even 20%. Now, all the 20s, the people that are getting married, not only that they get divorced, it's very fast, within 4 years. Usually they get divorced with one or two kids. Doesn't even get to be 10, 15 years together. And obviously something is wrong, right? If they're not supposed to be that way. Now, in Israel, when Israel started as a nation, many Jews came from all over the world, from Persia, from Bukhara, from Russia, from Iraq, from all kinds of places. And in Israel, in the beginning, most of the people were religious, in the beginning. After 10, 15 years, when Israel became a state, most of the people started to leave the religion. Why? Because the Zionists that made Israel a state were all communists. From Russia, from Poland, they were anti-religion. Communist means anti-religion. They don't believe in any religion, not necessarily Judaism. So they made Israel with kibbutz, moshav, with the Russian concept. You know, you have a red card, you want to work, you have to work on Shabbat. They made the schools, boys and girls together. So the new generation that grew up in Israel 6 years ago, they all became not religious. The less religious the people become, the more the divorce rate goes up. Always like this. So in the beginning, there was hardly any divorce. When I was a kid, even though most of the people already stopped keeping the mitzvot, stopped keeping Shabbat, there was tons of cars on Shabbat in Israel, the parents still got together. They still were together. And actually, I can almost say happily married. Yeah, there's arguments in here and there, but non-religious, we're talking non-religious. Why? Because they were very traditional. Even though they stopped keeping mitzvot, they were very traditional, very conservative, and people knew that once you get divorced, it's the end of your children. If kids in school would know that your son comes from a broken house, it's very big embarrassment. Not only that after, you know, another 10, 20 years, the divorce rate started to go higher and higher. But when it's really flied up, when? After they brought television. Once they brought television, the first television in Israel was about 30 years ago. I believe it was black and white in the beginning. One channel. Very boring. Maybe one film a night. No, so people got excited. Fine. Sports a little bit. One channel. Over the years, it became worse and worse and worse. The more channels, the more shows, the more divorce. It's interesting. Why? Because the nature of the person is always to compare what he has to what he sees. If he has one car, if he doesn't know any better, let's say he goes to a village in Russia when everyone is very primitive there. They hardly have a car, very old car, and he comes with a Toyota, right? He comes with a Toyota to that village. I'm the best. Then you move him to Beverly Hills with his car. You see everyone drives fancy cars. He spits in his car. Ugh. Just a week after. Same thing with his wife. If his wife, compared to what's going around, is nice, beautiful, everything is fine, he feels I'm great. Once he goes to a place when he sees all these young girls and they're all not dressed and everything he sees on commercial and on televisions and in the movies, all day, all night, he cannot look at his wife. Same thing the other way around. When she gets him, she's very happy with him. The more she sees, the more problems he creates. Now you see, the Torah told us the answers to all these problems. All we have to do is just to learn the Torah. The Torah, what the Torah say? The Torah say, a man cannot look at another woman. If all the men in a Jewish nation will keep this law, what would happen? Nobody will ever be busy comparing his wife to other because he watches his eyes. So most of the problems right there are over. Then the Torah said to the ladies that they must all be dressed modestly. So even if accidentally a man walked in the street and a woman came by, even if he saw her, it wouldn't trigger anything. Why? She's completely covered, and it wouldn't create any problems. And that's, so the women don't keep that law, so that creates more problems. Then, one other rule the Torah said, that a man must learn everyday Torah. Before he goes to work, he prays in the morning, he learns Torah. They sit in a synagogue, in yeshiva, they learn Torah 1 hour, 2 hours. The Torah, it's like a spiritual antibiotic. You take the worst person in the world, you see how he behaves every day, try 1 week. 1 week, not, you don't need years. 1 week, bring him to yeshiva to start the day with 1 hour learning Torah. And follow him and see how he behaves that week, that he started the day with an hour Torah. You won't believe. Different person, more relaxed, less angry, less running around to make scenes. If somebody comes for tzedakah, he gives more. The Torah has a wonder effect on a person. Wonder. It's pretty much make miracles. How do I know? First, the Torah says that the Torah is the best cure for the soul. But even if the Torah wouldn't say it, I would tell you the same thing. How? I see in our yeshiva in Monzi. You get guys, earrings, tattoos, ponytail, smoking drugs, going to clubs until middle of the night, wake up at 12 in the afternoon. You bring them for 1 week to the yeshiva. Then they say, you know what, I'll stay another week. Well, after a month, no ponytail, change their clothes, they talk better, they get up early, 7 in the morning, they're already in shul, ready. You come a year later, in a billion years, you won't believe that something like this can happen. 1 month learning Torah for a few hours a day. 1 month. You hear them on the phone, how they convince their friends that they must come and see what it is. A month ago, you had to bribe them to come. Now, he's already talking to his family, you have to keep Shabbat. 1 month. So you see the magic of the Torah? One time, I had a meeting with the biggest mekubal in the world. After Rabbi Kaduri passed away, supposedly, nobody knows the truth, only Hashem knows who is the biggest. But from what people say on the street, the biggest mekubal in the world, his name is Rav Yaakov Hillel. That's his name. So I once met with him in an issue that there was, I think it was exactly by now 10 years ago. 10 years ago we met for about 45 minutes. And then he says to me, what? 400,000 Balei Tshuva, 600,000 Balei Tshuva, baloney! Nonsense! The only Balei Tshuva are the ones who went to learn Torah after they became religious. Those who stay on the street, they're not Balei Tshuva, it's baloney. They never changed. Just to be a robot and to move your hands, to wash it, but inside everything the same. The only way to become Baal Tshuva is to throw yourself into the water, the Torah. If not, there's no change. You can see people who became religious just from listening to a few lectures. After 20 years, you compare how they are now compared to what they used to be, almost the same. Still angry, still speaking dirty language, still watching things in the internet, still the wife is all open when she goes to weddings, still they go to places that are not supposed to go, still they go on vacation on a beach or place. 20 years, it's Shomer Shabbat. Still Chiloni. Beloni, he thinks he's religious. Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame? A guy, 20 years, he thinks he's religious, he comes to Hashem, he says, my friend, you made 1%. From 100%, you achieve 1%. I said, 1%? I walk with a yarmulke all day. Tzitzit, yarmulke, what do you mean 1%? I go to synagogue 3 times a day. 1%, my friend, 1%. You're still the same arrogant person. You're still the same crook in a business. You're still watching the girls everywhere you go. You still cheat on your wife. You still curse all day. You still violent. You still cheat on traffic, cut people with your yarmulke, make chilul Hashem. You still eat things that are not so kosher. Yeah, okay, good, there's a certificate on the wall. Yalla, let's eat. So why did you become religious? Just that you snore all Shabbat and you get up at 10 in the morning and come to the shul when they finish the davening? This is what you think, you became a tzaddik? Judaism is not a religion. It's a way of life. And there's only one kosher way of life. Only one, not two. There's only one kosher way of life. What's the right kosher way of life? First of all, once a person gets married, the Torah says that him and his wife became one unit. Ish ve'isha. Become one soul. And Rav Aryeh Levin was a big tzaddik in Israel, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago. When he used to go with his wife to the doctor, if her leg was hurt, he came to the doctor, he said, "Our leg hurts." Which means my wife feels pain in her leg, I feel just as much the pain. If she's after labor and she screams in the hospital, he stands in the hallway and feels the same pain. If you didn't get to this level, something is not right. A person sometimes is very generous to the whole world, very polite, very nice. He helps everyone and treats his wife like a garbage. Now, what does he think? Okay, I admit I don't have patience to her anymore. She drives me crazy. All she wants is money. She wants to, you know, to sleep. She wants vacation. She wants this. She wants that. She wants to be by her mother all day. So I don't have patience for her. But he has patience for everybody, but not for her. So he's thinking, okay, I admit that I'm not so good with my wife, but at least I do so many other great things to people, to the rabbis, to my people in the synagogue. No, I do a lot of great things. None of these great things count. The Torah says if a person is nice to others and not to his wife and his children, it doesn't count. It's a hypocrite. Tzavua. It's all fake. Why? Because we have obligations who we owe, right? For instance, if a person lend you money without interest and helped you out, and a person did nothing for you, who do you owe more? If somebody is in a trouble, let's say both of them has a problem, who should you run to help more? The one who gave you a loan or the one that did nothing for you? This one you owe a favor, right? He did a favor for you. You owe him, you have to be grateful. Right? He did help you when you were in problem. Now he's in problem. You have to run, help him. But the nature of the people, you see, the more the people help them, the more they stab them in the back. One person came to the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim was one of the biggest rabbis we ever had. And he wrote all the laws of Lashon Hara and the Mishnah Brura. So Chafetz Chaim, he came to him, "Rabbi, I don't understand. There's one person here in town, he all day speaks against you," he says to the Rav. So what was the Rav response was? You may think the Rav would say, I feel very bad to hear it. Maybe you call him, maybe I'll tell him to stop, or maybe I send him a warning. No, the rabbi didn't say that. The rabbi told him, "It's strange. I don't remember that I did any favor to this guy. So why is going against me? If I would do favors for him, then I understand the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, try to put him in this trap. Since I did nothing for him, what is he so worried to speak against me?" From here we learn a lot. And you see it all the time. Who are the kids chutzpah to? Not to the guests that come. Guests that comes to the house, usually they're polite when they talk to them. As soon as they leave, he tells his mother, "Be quiet. Just do what I told you. Don't tell me what to do." But he doesn't talk to the people like this on the street. But to his mother, all day like this, chutzpah. In a school, if they're brave, they also speak to the rabbis like this. The ones who give them their life, they are the worst behaving towards them. But people that they hardly know, they're very nice and polite too. So you see that the evil inclination, the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, always push the person to do what's the worst for him. Not something. He doesn't settle on a little sin. The worst. The worst. Always the worst. But it starts small and then it expands. So if a person neglects his wife, there's a very serious problem. Who does his laundry? Who cooks for him? Who speaks to him when he's angry? Who takes care of his children? The Gemara brings many stories of the greatest rabbis in history. And one of them had a very bad wife, real bad wife. If the Gemara says she was evil, wicked, then she was really wicked. And his students were telling him, "Rabbi, we can see how much you suffer from her. Why don't you just give her a get? It's bothered the student, the Talmidim. Why the rabbi suffer so much with her?" So he answered them, "Daya shemegadelet et banai. It's enough that she's raising my children, right? They go to yeshiva, she dresses them, she feeds them in the morning, she sends them to yeshiva. That's already worth it for me to suffer with her. To get what she says, she speaks not nice. Everything I say, she does the opposite. No problem. As long as she takes care of the kids, I know one person, very good person. He's Israeli and his wife American. And, you know, both Jewish, Shomer Shabbos. They got married. Few years he was okay, and then the problems began. And she gives him nightmare. Now they're in the process of getting divorced, but for many years before they started the process, nightmare, it's not a word. So once I asked him, how long are you willing to continue to suffer like this? You're still young, you have a chance to get remarried and start, you know, another family. He said, no, every time I want to do it, there's something who stops me. I said, what? He said, she's very good to my children, very good mother. And I'm afraid if I get divorced, now it's going to be problems with the children, everything will fall down the tube. So the guy is suffering for years, like because that she's a good mother to the children, like the rabbi in the Gemara. And saying, so sometimes this is what people, if she's not a good mother, then what else? So to be grateful, it starts from your own home, for the people who does the most for you. Not enough just to come home at night and turn the television on and begin to watch, like most people do. All week they don't talk. They don't talk all week. They don't do things together. They don't take a walk together. They don't go places together. People think that if they married for 20 years, the romantic side of the story is over. It's like roommates. No. They can still go to a cafeteria and sit and drink something and eat and talk and laugh. They can do things together. A relationship has to always be built. It doesn't happen 1 or 2 years and then it stays forever good. There's a lot to do. It's gifts, it's holidays, and the Torah has halachot. How to do? How to be together, what to do, what not to do. I'll give you an example. One time a guy comes to me after a lecture and says, Rabbi, I'm sure my wife is cheating on me. They're already married for 2-3 years, this couple. I said, what makes you so sure? He said, I tell you the truth. In the beginning, everything was perfect. Mamash, we were in love. We together. Mamash, I couldn't ask for better. Now, in the last 2-3 months, she's avoiding me all the time. Every time I come close to her, she's making me an excuse, headache, this. I don't feel good. Something is fishy. So I started to follow her. I checked the computer. I checked the phone bill. I can't find any proof. But I have no doubt that it has to be. It cannot be. Right? All of a sudden it changed like this. So I'm thinking. Misviyata Dishmaya, Hashem Baruch Hu gave me an idea. I asked him, let me ask you a question. Did you tell your wife recently, like 2-3 months ago since the problem started, did you tell her that she gained weight? So he's thinking, he said, yeah, I told her. She really gained weight, he said. So I told him, that's the reason for all your problems. This sentence that you say create all these problems. So, don't exaggerate. Big deal. What did I say? So you don't understand how the mind of a woman works. Now it will take you 20 years to correct this mistake. So I said, what? He started to get nervous. I say, now let me tell you a few other things that happen with you. When you go into your room with your wife and everything, why she always avoids, she doesn't want you to look at her, she goes in a weird way, she's hiding herself from you. You say, yeah, exactly. So I say, she lost all her confidence being with you now. You hurt her so deep that now that's it. It will take you forever to try to correct it. No, you're thin, you lost a lot of weight, you look great. Yeah, it's going to help a little bit. But she already know your real opinion about her. She lost her confidence being with you. That's why she's avoiding you. No cheating, no nothing. So here is an example of a man that never learns Torah. He never learns what a woman is. One little innocent mistake, even if he was right. He didn't mean to hurt her. He just told her, you know, he was hoping that maybe she will go on a diet or something. Ruins his marriage. His marriage is not the same, right? One other mistake is arguing in front of the boys and the girls, the kids. Arguing in front of them about anything. About why did you buy it? It's too expensive. Why did you choose such an ugly color? Why we have to go to your parents again for Shabbat? I'm tired of it. All these arguments that husbands and wife has must be together in the room that nobody hears. And if they have a tiny apartment, goes down somewhere and argue in a park or something. Or in a car. And it's not a joke. Arguing in front of the kids make the kids the same. make them impulsive, makes them also bad husbands and bad wives. Whatever they see in a house goes into their genes. For instance, you see, if the father is angry and he screams a lot, look at all his kids, they're all the same. They're all getting the same, which means they are, impulsive, they scream, they do all kinds of crazy things, the kids. Why? Because that's what they learn. That's how they grew up in the house. Same thing with the mother. If the mother put tons of makeups every time she leaves the house, as soon as the girl become 9, 10, she also want. If the mother put all kinds of belt to attract attention to her body, the girl will be the same. If they see that all the parents care is about money, and when rich people come, they give them a lot of respect, but when poor people come, they disrespect them, they're also going to be like this. They grow up with the feeling money counts. If you have money, you're something. You don't have it, you're nothing. Or also when a rabbi comes to the house, they see how they treat him. If they're extremely nice and they give respect, so they say, oh, that means the rabbi is an important person. So they also grow up like this. It's called Emunat Chachamim. You see, by like the Moroccans, by the Bukharians, even if they're not religious completely, they give a lot of respect to the rabbis, most of them. It's always an exception to the rule. But other nationalities, nothing. Treat their rabbi like he's garbage. They don't care. He comes, he comes. They won't rise. If he talks, they scream. They don't care. And it's affecting what comes after, the kids. You know, so you see that an example in a house basically determine how your kids is going to be. Also, men thinks that my job is to go work out of the house, bring parnasa, and that's it. From this moment on, I come home, I'm the king. I don't have to bother making myself tea. I don't have to bother making myself a meal when my wife don't feel good. Or shopping, or to go buy stuff for Shabbat. It's all the wife's job. It's enough I pay for a maid, a cleaning lady, whatever. And don't bother me. I'm giving you money. You have a maid, or you have a cleaning lady lives in the house, or comes twice a week, whatever it is. Leave me alone. It's not true. A man has to help in the house. He has to help in the shopping. He has to help in driving the kids to school when there's no school buses. He has to help. Today, the women are more spoiled than the previous generations. 20, 30 years ago, a woman could take care of 9 kids easy. Do laundry with a hand. Take buses. There was no, like today, fancy cars everywhere you go. Take buses. Sometimes change 3 buses. Sometimes 3-4 hours just to get to the doctor with 5 kids in a bus. That's how everyone was. There was no diapers yet. I remember, it's only one generation ago. When I was a kid, there was no diapers. The baby made, you have to wash it. Think about it. See, the diapers was from material, not disposable. And the laundry machine, there was no dryers. You had to put it to dry for a day or two. And then to iron. So much things to do. There was so many things. It used to be that most people didn't even have a phone in their house. If they needed to get something, there was no phone. No phone to call anyone, so you have to send somebody to go. This is how it was. You wanted to buy vegetables, there was no delivery. They come to your home with a truck, deliver. You had to carry everything, or you have a special cart, you walk in the street with that. That's how life was. And the people worked 10 times harder than today, and they didn't complain, and they were much happier than today. The more spoiled we become, right? The more spoiled we become, the more we complain. Laundry machine, washer machine, 2 maids in the house, a car, everything is automatic in the house, a dishwasher, everything, and the wife is always tired and always depressed. That's the situation today. So we see that what Hashem told us, it's not an exaggeration, it's the truth. What's the truth? The Torah says, Adam la'amal yulad. When a person is busy, is active, he doesn't have time to get depressed. Only when he's lazy and resting all the time, his mind begins to think, look at this, look at that, what's going to be with this boy, what's going to be with my daughter, what's going to be with my in-laws, what's going to be with my sister-in-law, she drives me crazy. All these things, the Chazal say, when the mind is open to think, he's always thinking about negative things. That's why when a person is busy learning Torah, he doesn't have time for all this nonsense. For jealousy, for career, for vacations. I always say, people call me to ask me about vacations and things. And I tell them, I didn't take vacation for 15 years. Never. Not one time to go anywhere. What? 15 years? How can you do it? I said, not only I didn't take vacation, for me, if you give me a free vacation, and believe me, I have a lot of people that have nice houses in places, and they're really dying to send me on vacation to relax over there. For me, it's a punishment to go there. It's a punishment. Yeah, people tell me, I have a house here, I have a house there, I have a house in Florida, I have a house in overseas, in places, even in Israel. Go here, take the key, take your wife, go. For us, it's a punishment. It's one thing, it gets to a point that to go to the airport with all these things, with the luggage and worry about the kids, if they go and if they do good in school, if they got to the bus on time, if they took lunch, maybe the maid that will take care of them doesn't know exactly what to do. Could be there's an emergency. Just from all these things around, how can you enjoy it? We say, you know what, we're very happy where we are. Even Shabbos, to go to places, for me it's a punishment. I have to do it because I'm a speaker. I speak in places. Now I'm going at 4 in the morning. I have another lecture now. I'm going after the lecture to the airport. I'm going to L.A. until Monday. For me it's a vacation. It's the biggest nightmare. Especially now after the bomb attack that they had. They told me be 3 hours before domestic flight. 3 hours before. Can you believe what's going on here? So that's it. So you have to know now a few more things before we finish. I just want to make a few more things very clear. The source of the blessing in the house comes from the wife. The Zohar, the Kabbalah explained that in heaven there is a tree, a special tree. And the tree has a root and there's branches that are coming out. And each branch is something in life. Branch that it's blessing in with the children, education, health, living, money, parnasa. One branch has two things come from that branch. Very interesting. What's the two branches? This branch, the woman, and the money connects to the same branch. So the Zohar, the Kabbalah explained that if a man is looking at a married woman and enjoy from her, if a man looks at a married woman and enjoys from her body or from her look, when she's not modest, it's affecting her husband Parnasa, her husband losing money at the same time. Now you may say, we know a lot of pretty women that walk very not modest on the streets and their husband make millions, true. But if the wife will be modest, they make tens of millions. They are definitely paying the price. If they only knew how much it costs them the way their wife dressed on the street, they would handcuff her not to walk like this. I'll give you anything you want. Just do me a favor. Do not walk like this on the street. Whatever you want. I know one guy that offered his wife $1 million gift if she will cover her hair and she doesn't agree. All of you looking, wow, my husband didn't offer me $5 to cover my head. So you're lucky that you did it for the mitzvah, not for the money. Because even if this woman would agree, she won't get rewarded for that, from Hashem. She got $1 million, that's your reward. Put a piece of thing, a hat on your head and get $1 million cash, it's a very good deal, no? You still want reward over there in the next life? Come on. But the people who cover their head after they get married, every second of their life is a mitzvah. Nobody enjoys from her beauty, only her husband. In this generation, everything is the opposite, the way it should be. First, her husband comes home 7, 8, 9 at night, after a horrible, hard day, pressure at work, traffic. He sees his wife, she's 25, look like 70. Right? She doesn't take care of herself when she's in the house. But if she has to go to a doctor's meeting, appointment, or to the supermarket, 20 minutes, she becomes a model. What's going on here? When she goes on the street, she makes sure she's dressed top of the line, beautiful jacket, lipstick, makeup, fix her wig, she takes off the things, put a beautiful wig, and goes on the street. When she comes home, she throws everything, clean her face like this, put her a pajama, whatever you call it, and her husband come and he sees her like this. And then they wonder why there's so many problems. It should be the other way around. All day when a woman walks in the street, she should be as less as attractive as possible for nobody to look at her even. When she comes home, oh, my husband is coming in 20 minutes, let me get ready. I'll be nice. Why? First, he's proud that he has such a pretty wife. The little that he sees her, an hour or two a day, she might as well be presentable. Also, it says that a couple shouldn't be together during the day, only at night. And if they have no way to be together at night, for whatever, let's say, he's a doctor, he works night shift, if they agree to be together in the day, if they have no choice, to make sure the room is very dark. So, what's the point here? Because sometimes the wife looks very pretty when it's dark. But if you put tons of light in her face, she's not so pretty. Chazal says, let him enjoy from his wife the way she is in a normal darkness. Why? If he will see something he may not like about him, his wife, Chas v'shalom, he gets disgusted and he will make the marriage as worse than before. Even to these tiny details, the Chachamim were thinking about. And you know what? I have guys that went on a shidduch two or three times to dark places, and they like the girl very much. They were ready to, already proposed to continue. And then all of a sudden they went to one place during the day, and then changed their mind completely. Why? Because this is the way we are. It's not only by women, it's by men also. So every little thing counts. He's with me 20 years. What's the big deal? 20 years is with me. I know a woman, before she goes to sleep, she puts makeup. Yeah, why? That her husband never will see her without her. It sounds silly, but in this low-level generation, even things like this is important. The idea is not to take things for granted. The woman should think, my husband is a tzaddik. He will never replace me with somebody else. He won't even look. The biggest tzaddikim in the world almost fell. Even look at Yosef HaTzaddik, the only person in history that Hashem put a stamp on him, tzaddik, righteous. Eshet Potiphar make a fashion show for him. Fashion show. Changing clothes, Rashi writes, Gadim shel lavsha boker lo lavsha erev. She's changing her outfits a few times a day. Just when Yosef was about to make a scene with her, he saw the image of his brother of his father Yaakov. If he wouldn't see it, he'll make a scene with her. So even such a tzaddik that learns with his father Torah and was such a holy, from a holy family, even he was about to make a sin. So that means nobody is clean from these sins. The Gemara says, Abaye walked one time and he heard the neighbors are talking. The boy and the girl, the guy wants to go from Jerusalem somewhere, and she heard and she wants to get a ride with him on a carriage. And he agreed. And Abaye is one of the chief rabbis of that generation, an old person. He heard that they're going together day and night in a carriage. So for sure, this young couple will make sins. For sure. Let me follow them. For 3 days, he's been following them. He left everything. What? In case they're about to make a scene, I'll jump and I scream. After 3 days, they did not touch one another. They got to the intersection. He has to go right. She has to go left. They said, thank you very much for the ride. All day they spoke Divrei Torah. He's telling her halachot. She's asking him questions. No, couldn't be better. The rabbi fell on the floor and started to cry. Somebody passed by, see the chief rabbi sitting on the mud. It wasn't roads like today, nice, clean. It's mud. Sits in the mud and cries. Rabbi, get up, what happened? Who died? Nobody died. So, you see this couple, this guy and that girl? For 3 days I've been following them. And they did not touch one another for 3 days, only Divrei Torah all day. So the guy said, very good, no, so what's the problem? So you don't understand, huh? If I would be the guy that gives this girl a ride, I would make a scene with her. And this is the chief rabbi, and all the rabbis in the world today cannot be 1% from him. All of them combined. It's not an exaggeration. If you knew who was this rabbi, every page in the Gemara, Abaye and Rava, Abaye and Rava, one of the most important Chachamim ever lived. So if I would be with her, I would make a scene. If I would be with her. The Gemara says, one man saw a woman and fell in love with her. You know, fell.
And he comes to the girl and he says, I want you, if you can go on a date with me. She said, no, I'm not interested, leave me alone. So he went to his doctor. He's depressed now. He comes to the doctor, he said, doctor, I saw this neighbor of mine in the neighborhood. I like her very much. She doesn't like me. I tell you, I'm going to kill myself. I'm so depressed. I fell in love. I cannot do anything anymore. I'm becoming sick now. So the doctor said, okay, let me see what we can do. He went to the rabbi and said, Rabbi, we have a case of pikuach nefesh, a life risk. A Jew is about to do something to himself or from a broken heart. He may die from sorrow. So the rabbi says, so what do you want? He said, maybe she would be with him only one time. One time, and that's it. The rabbi say, it's better he'll die, and the girl will not agree to let him touch her. Few days later, the doctor came back to the rabbi and say, Rabbi, okay, I have another suggestion. What's the suggestion? The girl will walk near him. She put a nice clothes, and she walk in front of him, let him see her a little bit. She smiled to him, how are you? That's it. No touching, no nothing. The rabbi said, no, the law says he better died and she won't agree to walk in front of him. That's it. And the doctor came back and say, okay, rabbi, she won't walk in front of him. No contact, no vision. She will be in one side of the wall and he will be in the other side of the wall and let them talk 5 minutes a day. Today we call a telephone. Talking on the phone. Nothing else. Not chas v'shalom, bad words. So we're talking 2,000 years ago. The people were very, very modest. How are you today? What do you do today? I'm going to learn. I'm going to school. I'm going to work. I'm going to yeshiva. My father doesn't feel good. I'm going to help him. Whatever. Nothing. Just to talk 5 minutes, to give him 5 minutes attention. The Chachamim say, let him die, and she won't agree to talk to him on the phone 5 minutes, beyond the wall. Let him die. Why? The holiness of the Jewish woman is above anything you can think of. You don't compromise on that. No matter what, you don't compromise on that. The Gemara gives another example. In the old days, people used to live in a neighborhood, like the shape of a U, the houses, right? And then one side of the street, it's open to the public territory. So they have in the middle of the neighborhood a place they put the horses, the camels, you know, it's like what we call parking today, right? So they park the camels, the donkeys. And what happened? People also used to do laundry. There was no laundromat. You put quarters and everything comes an hour later ready. They had to do laundry with their own hands. So people used to go to the lake, to the rivers, and do laundry. They take the donkey with the carriage, they do the laundry, and they come back home. So the Gemara asks, what happened now when a neighbor wants to make a hole in the ground, put a little bit cement on the side, put water with soap, and do the laundry there? In the middle of the neighborhood. So the Gemara says he cannot do it. He has to ask permission from all the neighbors. If all the neighbors agree, then he can do it. If not, he has a problem. He has to go even a mile away to the lake. So the Gemara asks, what about the woman, Jewish woman? Does she also need to ask permission? So the Gemara said, no, she can do it without permission from the neighbors. So they say, what's the difference between a man and a woman? What? What's the difference? If you need permission from the neighbor, a man, a woman, they cannot do whatever they want. Say, no, because everybody understands, every Jew, the neighbors, everyone understands that it's impossible to even imagine that a Jewish female will go to the lake to do laundry when men passing by with their horses there. Because the Jewish ladies are all extremely modest. What Jewish lady would agree to go to the lake to do laundry? We're not talking the way they dress today. We're talking cover from A to Z. Just bending a little bit, cover completely and do laundry by the lake when men also come to do laundry. So there are sins. It's impossible to even imagine that the children of God will go and do such a thing, because modesty is a holy thing. Then she doesn't need permission. Everybody agree. They have no choice. Because if they won't agree, tomorrow their wife will have to go to the lake. You see? That's how it was. Look at today.
And then you understand why we have 70% divorce rate. In the time of the Gemara, if there was one divorce case a year, my rabbi told me that when he was a kid, so we're talking 50 years ago, when he was a kid, he told me one time he went with his father on the street, and the kid heard somebody say the word gerushin in Hebrew, divorce. So he asked his father, the poor kid, Abba, ma ze gerushin? What is a divorce? And he said his father gave him such a smack because it was such a horrible word 50 years ago, nobody dared to say it in his mouth. Like today, God forbid, when they have cancer in Hebrew, people don't want to even say the name of it because everything goes after what comes out of the mouth. Bad things can come to the person. So they say the disease. They don't say the name. Hamachala. And everybody knows what they're talking about already. Same thing it was to say the word Gerushin, divorce. Nobody can even imagine to say it. It's like Chas v'Shalom, the worst curse. So when the boy said it, his father got shocked. He gave him a smack, a reflex. Why? This is only 50 years ago. He's about 62 today. Yeah, he was a kid. 50 years ago. That's what it was. People had dignity. People didn't sit in front of the television and saw 500 women in 1 hour. They didn't. If they wanted to see a non-modest woman, you know how long they had to travel until they found a prostitute somewhere? And even the prostitutes, the Gemara described them that when they wanted to attract a man, they used to lift their skirt to their knee. That's it. That's a prostitute of the old days, some Goya that has a place. Everything is in hidden doors. Not like today, Hashem Yirachem, they put signs in the middle of the highways in Israel. Your wife reached 60, dumped her, replaced her with a new Russian immigrant. They show a picture of Russian girls that came, all these goyot that came from Israel. In Israel, big sign on the street, believe it or not. That's how low we got. Worse than America. You should know that what they show on television in America, as despicable as it may be, is nothing compared to what they show in Israel. In Israel, the censor is not as strict as here. Here, there are certain things they won't allow kids to watch in the time of the kids and something. But in Israel, Hashem Yirachem, what they show. The worst thing you can think of, the worst. The worst, mamash, the worst. The kids are, they see it. I can't believe how they're not embarrassed to sit in the same room with the father and mother and while the television play all this dirt. People lost their dignity in such a way they're worse than animals today. Worse than animals. 40 years ago, do you remember a case when you were kids, most of you are older, do you ever remember a situation that a boy, your son, will bring his girlfriend to sleep in your house? Who could even imagine such a thing? Today, go and see what's going on here. He has a girlfriend, he's 18, she's 17, whatever. He brings her home, she sleeps in his room. His father's room is right beyond the wall. Think about it. The father knows that his daughter, 17, 18 years old, right here, 5 steps away, behind that wall, who knows what she does with this bomb from the street. Can you believe what's going on here? Nobody has any embarrassments anymore. That's what the Chazal says. Before Mashiach come, we'll go so low that the face of the generation will look like the face of the dog. Pnei ador kepnei kelev. The face of the generation like the face of the dog. People have no respect and no embarrassment. They ask an important doctor in Israel, what would you give your son as a gift for his bar mitzvah? 13 years old boy, not religious. I will take him to Amsterdam to visit in a street with the windows, I don't know, some despicable place over there. An important doctor. That's his gift to his son. Understand? Before the boy even open up his eyes, he takes him to the filthiest place on earth. A doctor. Not talking to a gangster from the street. A doctor. Understand? Chas v'shalom, tomorrow we're going to need him to operate on us, this psycho. You understand? That's what's going on today. That's why when you go to the big rebbes, the admorim, and you give them a list of few doctors to do a surgery, some doctors, it's in a black list. Even if they're good doctors, they know how to operate, whatever, they say, no, don't allow to go to this doctor. Why? He's a wicked person. They investigate, they check. They checked about them from other patients, what they do, how they talk, what they do in their normal life, and they say, this one is, no matter what, don't go to him. It's better sometimes to go to a doctor that is less professional than the other one, but he believes in Hashem and is humbled and modest, than to go to a big shot, supposedly. I remember one time, in my first son, so he's 14 and a half now, so that was about 15 and a half years ago. I went, my wife told me, the doctor wants to meet with you. Comes Manhattan, fancy doctor's office. Two doctors, both Jewish. One, his name was Berk, and the other one, Zarkin. Two partners. Fancy office in Manhattan. Fancy office. I go. So, you know, I was young then. Today I wouldn't talk like this. But then, you know, when you're young, you not always think straight. So we speak. So he tells my wife this and this and the baby. And you need to do this and you need to take this vitamin. So I told him, doctor, it's all baloney. Forget about it. Life and death is not in the hands of these pills, or with all the respect. It's all what God wants. He wants a healthy baby, is healthy baby. No healthy baby, no matter what you do, it's not going to help. Don't waste our time. So the doctors, first of all, he felt that he's a real big shot. So he got very insulted, like, I'm putting him down. He say, listen, with all the respect to God, without us, nothing can happen. I say, you mean the opposite. With all the respect to you, without God, nothing can happen. As we speak, the other partner comes in. I am your doctor. So I'm the one who will deliver the baby. Speaking to this one, right away, I told my wife, this guy, I don't like him. She said, I'm telling you, it's crazy. She said, what do you mean? Said, they are important doctors. I'm telling you, it's a psychopath. It's crazy. A year later, he delivered the woman, and with his knife, he tattooed something on her stomach, his initials. You hear that story in the news, all over the news? I don't remember his first name. He put the first letter on her stomach, and he lost his license, and they dumped him. I think he even went to jail, and he paid a huge fine, lawsuit. All over the news! She said, you were right! He's a psychopath! The ego goes so high sometimes that they lose, they're not normal anymore. They lose their mind. Just that you know, the Gemara warned us from lawyers and from doctors. What destroyed America in the last 20 years? Everything you see today is results of what they did to America. The doctors and the lawyers. Encouraging lawsuits, sucking the blood of every company, everywhere, every little thing. Lawsuits, millions. That's what's going on. You cannot breathe today. Insurance for this, insurance for that. Doctors, the malpractice goes higher and higher. It's crazy what's going on here. And the doctors, the Gemara said, the best doctors, you should be careful from them. Maybe they go express to hell. It's always good doctors, don't get me wrong. But the Gemara said, be very careful for them. Why? For two reasons. One, they take the credit. They think they cure the people and not Hashem. So Hashem cannot stand it when they think life and death is in their hand, or they feel great, thanks to my brilliance and I was precise in a surgery, the life of this person got saved. And what's the second reason? Because over the years, when they see so many patients, they lose the value of life. They don't care about the patient. Sometimes you come to the doctor, even dentist, when he gives you the shot, there's two ways to do it. With patients that you don't feel pain, or 1, 2, 3, and you scream. You see, they don't care. Right away. Why? They don't care you scream. They don't care about your pain. They don't care that you lay down in a hospital, sometimes 3 hours until they come and ask you what's going on. Why? They got used to it. When people die, sometimes, not all the time, don't get me wrong, sometimes they don't even care. It's like nothing. A minute later, they take their bagel and eat, or their sushi that they order. And a minute ago, he saw a person dead. He came out of the room, opened up his bagel and eat.
If we will see somebody who died, at least an hour we can eat after, no? Feel horrible. Wow, I just saw a body. Feel terrible. No, I don't want lunch. Thank you. I'm not hungry. I lost my appetite. They tell a joke after. It's normal. And the Torah said to us, we have to be very careful. We have to always express feelings for the others. So let's conclude. Men that don't understand that the most important thing in their life is the wife, and a wife that don't understand that the most important thing is her husband, have no chance to succeed in their marriage. They have to understand the Torah says, "Va'azav et aviv ve'imo ve'davak bi'ishto." He leaves his parents and stick with his wife, and she leaves her parents and stick with her husband. You understand? And if they don't do it, it's just going to be roommates. Running the house as roommates, and the kids will recognize it, and there's going to be a lot of problems. When there's no Torah in a house, really today it's very foolish to get married. Well, you want to enter the statistic in 2-3 years to be in court and fight for the house, fight for the cars, fight for the bank account, ugly divorce, lawyers. The lawyers usually take all the money anyway. By the end of the arguments, they're left with nothing, both sides. Usually that's how it ends. So what's the point of getting married? What's the point? If there's no Torah, no values, today there's no chance to succeed. If you let your children watch television, what do you expect them to become? They watch what they see today. They become what they see on a screen. This is the hero, and this is the hero, and this head of the mafia is the hero, and they want to be one of them. In Israel, every head of the mafia, every day they show him on the media. Bodyguards, fancy cars, drivers, open the door for him. So all the kids say, wow, look at this guy, the murderer. He has such a nice house. They show it on television. He has bodyguards. They beg him to get an interview. He goes with a cigar, like supposedly somebody important. The kids grow up with a dream. I want to be like this gangster. I is a murderer. I is humiliating people. I blackmail stores. I burns people's house. They don't care about this. They just want to be somebody important. That's what they show on television. Gossip all day. No modesty. Shabbat is a regular day on television. They show everything as usual. The streets is full of it. No. Go and become tzaddik when such an environment. So we have to clean the foundation first. Before we talk about how we make things, sometimes people come and say, Rabbi, why my son is like this? And I'm embarrassed to tell him because of you. Everything you are, he became what you want. Everything you do, he does. But when somebody else does it, it bothers you. But when you do it, it's okay. But when your son does it, it kills you. But when you do it, it's okay. Hashem will understand me, you know, I'm a person. But why when your son do it? Let's say, for instance, someone who smokes cigarettes. And his son started in a young age to smoke. It bothers him. I told you not to touch cigarette. Why are you doing it? But he does the same thing. For his son, it kills him. But for him, it doesn't bother him. If he lies all day, it doesn't bother him. If his son lies, it kills him. How many times I told you, stop being a liar. It's going to ruin your life. And yet, 2 minutes later, he gets a phone call. And what happened? He says to his son, say, I'm not home. Just 2 minutes ago, I gave him a lecture about not being a liar. 2 minutes. Time is running out. I have